Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Wow. There is something special going on. Yeah, there's definitely something going on. Let me introduce my beloved guest tonight, who also happens to be my co-host on Monday nights, my best friend 24/7, and just the delightful, enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hello. I'm here. I feel like we're integrating the Mystical Mother Earth show with another reality show.
Well, aren't they kind of, if you think about it, they do clearly, you know, another reality and Mystical Mother Earth.
Definitely.
You know, realities of a feather flock together.
I love that opening. You know, it's funny what you hear the open heart. That's so pretty. I know I've heard it so many times, but all of a sudden tonight, it really just struck me, you know?
Aww.
Yeah, so, hello,
indeed.
Everybody.
You said
there is something special going on, and then I'll just add, right now.
Right now, exactly.
Right
oh,
now.
Yes, indeed. I actually wrote that down, but I you're right. And it, you know, there is nothing but right now. I mean,
right.
Me and Janine for the next couple of hours are going to talk about there is a presence that, you know, I know we're all feeling it. I don't know, you know, that we're all staying in it. And I don't think that's necessarily, you know, that's not the goal. In other words, by not staying in this presence, we haven't failed. But there is a presence right now that is... It's deeply, I'm speaking just from my own experiences, it is deeply affecting my choices, my focus, and the thing that is becoming most clear and most apparent is that none of this is based in logic or reasoning. None of it.
That's a good sign.
That's a good sign, indeed. It really is, and
because the open heart's not looking for logic or reason, you know.
Exactly. Well, and it's really not. These are not, you know. This isn't. I hate talking. You know, my early childhood education really kind of drilled into me a principle that is so applicable across the board and. That's very similar to what Abraham Hicks talks about. Whenever I start a sentence going, you know, this isn't about, it's like, well, listen, let's not talk about what something isn't about. Let's talk about what it is about.
Mm-hmm.
And in early childhood, they'll say to you, you know, if you want your children to do something, don't say, don't run. What do you want them to do? You want them to walk? Well, then tell them, walk. You know, let's walk, everybody. So it's about, you know, it's the affirmation of the potential that is that's being I'm going to use the word downloaded. I don't understand necessarily the physics of it and the science of it, but I do know that I have been feeling some really deep emotional things, and yesterday, I mean, I had a magical little rabbit who showed up, beautiful white rabbit. Oh,
Goldie,
Janine, how
squirrel.
Funny. A squirrel! Because I just went, wow, it's like your book!
We were just talking about a rabbit, that's why.
Yeah, exactly. Pardon me. We were discussing Janine's second book coming out, A Beautiful White Squirrel, that I'll be honest with you, what really surprised me, I mean, as soon as he showed up, there's something about, you know, the animals that are white. Now, this was not an albino squirrel because it had some black on it, and it didn't have the pink eyes. But the white really signifies in so many cultures, especially the Aborigine cultures, that it's a time of prophecy, and it's a time of, like, for me, it immediately made me coherent to what is happening right now. You know, I checked in on my being, and I was like, what am I feeling in my body? What awareness, you know, what thoughts am I thinking? What's coming to me? And I almost immediately, as soon as I went to check in, got the message, expect the unexpected. Mm-hmm. And I think what, you know, kind of blew my mind was, you know, I posted it yesterday, and at the moment, there's been 64 people and 30 comments. It was like, it seemed to be a trigger that kind of went, you know, viral, you know, from my little Facebook point of view, that it was like, it just seemed to be like speaking to all of us, this little white squirrel. And, you know, one of the things that I'm getting so clearly is that, you know, my journey is unfolding, you know, in magical, mystical ways. But I'll be honest with you, when I speak with Janine, it really is becoming, you know, like life is reflecting back to me every minute of every day. I mean, every moment, every breath. And one of the reflections that the squirrel gave me is that it's very important to be fluid. Not to, you know, everybody knows that, you know, everybody who's been listening to my show, that I, you know, I have this total opportunity to go down south and you know, start a whole new situation there, and that's not going to be opening up for me till February, or somewhere around there. And I found myself kind of in a state of waiting. And what I really, you know, I don't want to be in a state of waiting. I want to be living in my life right now. And there are definite things are emerging. Things are emerging for me right now. And I think it's incredibly important for all of us. See, the mind looks at commitment and says, okay, there's a commitment here to the journey that's available for me in North Carolina. But my heart tells me the commitment is to fully immerse myself in my life experiences. And I know it sounds like, you know, it can sound a little bit like I'm giving myself autonomy to be flaky. And I guess on some levels, I am giving myself permission to do that, and I'm sharing it with everybody because I want people to really, really digest that, you know, well, you know how that saying, people come into your reason for a reason, a season, or a lifetime? My intuition is telling me right now, in this very compressed time, I mean, we are basically in the last month before we go into 2012. I have begun a new journey where, for the last 10 weeks, I was on the journey of infinite trust. Mm-hmm. Now I have, on some level, integrated many experiences that brought me to a place where I can infinitely trust my instincts in spite of them being completely irrational and illogical. And that's a very important point, because the next leg of this journey that I'm on is being sufficient. And in that being sufficient, it actually, I waiting to go to move to another state, you know, in 3 months, that's not really sufficiency, because sufficiency is, well, what's going on right now? And You know, right now I have a potential to go into some different work. Potentials have popped up, and I'm not you know, sticking to my story that, you know, the thing I'm doing is moving away. What I have decided to do is to dive fully into what is being offered to me in my now moment. And I mean fully, because, you know, there's a potential I'm going to take a full-time job taking care of an older woman, not a baby, but, you know, a woman who's, you know, getting up in her age, in her golden years, and has some Alzheimer's issues. And, you know, it's just all very new. You know, this is not something I wasn't planning on this, but when it shows up and the situation is really, I'm interested in it. I feel very much interested in working with people, you know, kind of on the other end of the spectrum, not the people just being born, but the people being born potentially back into spirit. And so I've shifted everything to just be open to see what happens. And it's funny because now, you know, synchronicities are starting to support this change. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you enough how much, for me, well, me and Janine both talk about it. When nature starts showing up, and it's not even just nature, because synchronicities can happen for me, whether it's from a song, watching TV shows. Pardon?
Cleaning windows.
Cleaning windows. Yeah, it's like.
Love that.
It's
love
really
that
just
metaphor.
About being
love,
aware.
Love that. Love that.
Yeah, no, and see, now, and this is why I love when Janine is on. Janine has such a depth of noticing acts of divinity that the average person would clearly overlook, including myself. I mean, it's like, it's so funny. She'll notice acts of my own divinity that I'm like I would feel something, but she'll really bring it to my attention. The divine nature of something symbolic that for me was just a mundane thing to do on some levels, even though cleaning that window really was. I mean, I cleaned a window in my house above my kitchen sink that was over 11 years that it had been cleaned, and, you know, one side of the window is the kitchen, the other side of the window is the grill right outside. So I don't have to tell you that this window was, you know, it was pretty cloudy.
Yes.
It was pretty dirty,
yeah.
And which
to me is that, you know, that's stagnant in a way, and there was there's been so much movement for you in the last, well, you know, pre-infinite trust initiation art, but then initiation art, and then it just seemed to momentum is picking up, and you know, the squirrel to me, like, I haven't looked up squirrel, but what I get. The squirrel is so quick on its feet and changes position so effortlessly and agile, and you know, it, what appears to be erratic really isn't. It's just, and I, to be open to changing like that, you know, really says to me, you know, that was something being shown to you, and not only that, but you know, a squirrel is a gatherer, and one of the things about, you know, integrating is that you really truly are gathering yourself. And, you know, all this, I mean, it's just been so incredible to be part of it, to watch it, to notice. And, and you know, the sure sign of when you're in the moment or the mystery is when it does seem irrational. It does seem,
let me check
my calendar. You know, it's just all there flowing, and nature's working with you and showing you, and it, you know, and it becomes sort of this ongoing, you know, magical story of who's showing up now, you know, and if you're paying attention, it's just always there for you. And so, you know, yeah. So anyway, the squirrel and the window and all the other things that, you know, we've shared with the audience, but I've seen them happen, you know, incrementally, and I'm like, there it is. It's the movement. It's great. It's both movement. Yeah, it's both movement and gathering at the same time, which is the squirrel.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It really is. And it's funny because it's preparing.
And the color, of course, caught your eye because it's different than the other squirrels. And, I remember years ago there was and I saw it, and it was amazing. And I couldn't really tell you, maybe it was albino, but there were all these herds of deer around here, and there was a white deer. And, it was
nice.
Did you see the white deer? And it did. It meant something. It was like it was just this moment that you paid attention and said, ooh, something is happening, and it was great. So we were talking, too, that all of a sudden you just start noticing how all these archetypes are popping up, and you become more cognizant of them. And that's why I posted that cup on your page, because to me that is the open cup. It's the open heart. It's the, I'm in the moment. I'm present, and I love that. And also, we had a great discussion about the mystery today, and how much we're part of that, and how much I respect and honor that.
I want to talk about that because I believe, the conditioning of the mind, it just wants to take that mystery, it's almost like the mind doesn't accept the mystery. The mind wants to know everything there is to know. But it really misses the coherency that, if you look at science on some level, it takes the whole and it breaks it down, and it learns how each piece functions.
Mm-hmm.
But the mystery is that when you put it all together, there is something organic that is not experienced when it's taken apart separately. And ironically, it is what's the mystery is really, that's the juice of all of it. It's like, remember, that song, it's from Pocahontas, painting the colors of the wind.
Mm.
There's a part at the end of that song that says, you can own the earth, but all you'll own is the earth until you can paint with the colors of the wind, which is, clearly stating, it's just a piece of rock until you understand the mystery of Mother Earth is her essence. I mean, because what is the mystery? The mystery is that she's alive.
Yeah.
All of this is alive, and it's not a tangible thing. And I'm sure in some divine societies, meaning ETs and stuff, they have technology that can read the essence. We haven't, whatever the reason, we haven't discovered that technology. So I want to talking about the mystery is about aligning myself. I want my essence in aligned with Earth essence,
mm-hmm.
because in that alignment, I can change directions literally without even blinking an eye,
mm-hmm.
and not lose a step, and completely, I am excited. All of this has developed in the last 2 days, this new potential job, many things have shifted for me.
Just the openness to changing direction. And the unexpected, it's the perfect statement to expect the unexpected, which is what the squirrel put up for you, because from my point of view, with my paintings, with my art, with meeting this really wonderful friend, creative friend in Italy, all came out of the unexpected, and I couldn't make it up. It's just like, you keep going, wow, and where did that come from? And it's like,
yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
But, yeah, so
And that's the part, right? You're okay not knowing. Aren't you okay not knowing?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, it's better. I mean, I think that, you know, to talk about the birth of something, you know, I go back to your infinite trust, because when even, and this is where the mind can, if you're really in a place of infinite trust, even the mind will go with that. And the heart and the mind work together, really. I mean, because when you're in a place of trust, honestly, the mind isn't trying to figure anything out, because you're right. You're in a trusting place, and it's kind of the whole of you. So, you know, you're kind of moving. You're kind of moving reflexively, responding. You're not. So, it's a much. It's like a dance, but it's a dance that's, you know, not, you know, oh, let's rehearse again. No, it's a movement,
right,
you know? So,
right.
So that to me is when you have a relationship with the mystery, that's what you're doing. You're moving and dancing with it, with the mystery, heart and mind. And, you know, that's where the great inventions come in. I mean, because there's just this, and I think it's really based on trust, you know, and, you know, I'll never forget this wonderful teacher said something about having unshakable trust in the mystery. And it awed me, because I couldn't really grasp that at the time, because that was about 14 years ago. And I knew it was an incredible place, but I could not get there, you know, and you know, 14 years ago is a long time, but I was thinking, wow, you know, unshakable trust in the mystery, that's amazing. And and it was true. This person really did, you know, but when you start to really kind of get the true essence of trust, and I do think that it's this, you know, you're moving in this kind of awesome, like, you know, can you believe this is happening? And you're like, yes, I can. But there's part of you that's going, wow, you know. And,
well, yeah,
you know,
I think it's important to share. Infinite trust does not mean the elimination of fear.
No, because you're going to be.
Fear is very much a part of this, but you do it anyways.
You do it anyway. You hang in there. You hold the space, and you know this is all artful, you know, artful behavior or ways, or you know, this is living in the experience, you know. And
there it is. It is exactly.
Yeah. And you know, and yeah, if you need to call a friend to go, oh, you know,
call a friend, that's okay. Totally.
But I
think it really is about you know, it's about, in you know, we can, you know, we watch these videos, we listen to these people who are giving us the wisdom, whether it's George Kay or Nancy Ward or, you know, whomever, you know, all this spiritual wisdom is kind of being, you know, it's coming through the airwaves on so many levels. If we're not going to have the courage to put it into practice, my firm belief is, until you're taking an action step that supports the wisdom that's coming, you know, into us, you know, meaning coming into us from, you know, from my perspective, me and the people that I associate with, we're listening to the channelings, and you know, we're reading the books about, you know, there's life after life, and you know, all we know there's multiple dimensions. Now the question is, are we going to accept that we're a multidimensional being? And if we are going to accept that, are we going to accept it in this reality? Because in this reality, what usually constitutes a logical and reasonable path is a singular dimension that is only taking into account this dimension. You know, the minute you're going to take into account multiple dimensions, choices will come from multiple different areas that will clearly look like chaos and nonsensical. You know, it was very interesting. My father and me went to get a cell phone for me this week, and, you know, I was ecstatic just to be back in phone. I turned off texting. I turned off the internet because I just don't have the finances. I'm not comfortable, you know. If my finances increase, I will increase my ability to communicate with my phone. But what was interesting is as we were going inside, my father's on this real kick lately with both me and my brother that we're getting up into our I'm going to be 47 in 2012. My brother's going to be 50. And my father's belief is that we have nothing to show for our lives. You know, well, what do you have to show? What do you have to show for your life? And I was like, you know, well, do you have a couple of years, Dad? I was like, I'll tell you everything I have to show for my life. And he goes, but you don't make money. And it was like, you know, and there was his singular dimension of, you know, I honor it. I get it. His success is, do you make money? My success is, am I going through that portal into the fifth dimension that I'm going to ascend and transcend where, you know, in my humble opinion, there are beings that have been here for trillions of years. I mean, literally incarnating lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And you know, that's obviously okay. We're eternal beings. But for me, my goal wasn't, you know, I'm not looking just to have a success in this dimension. I mean, that's why everything I talk about. I talk about the things that most people don't talk about. I talk about going into the dark. I talk about my pain being my greatest teacher. I talk about the unknown as the place where I want to get comfortable being, because the unknown to me is clearly the multi-dimensions. And I know it's the imagination that is getting me there, which is one of the reasons why I'm excited about this new potential job, because it's so different talking to somebody kind of heading towards the light as opposed to somebody coming out. It's just there's different soul work going on here, and I'm clear on that. I'm so clear on that, and help me, Janine.
Well, no, I was just thinking that.
I love you, babe.
You know what I found? It's true in my life. Like, you know, I'm 56. Sometimes I forget how old I am. So 56.
Well, you're timeless, I might say too.
So, you know, been a nurse. Was a poet, artist. You know, a writer, mom, and a therapist. And what you end up seeing for myself is now, you know, being part of a radio show is so much fun, and I get to express all that I've learned and what I'm learning in the moment. And I love, I call it flying by the seat of your pants, but I love having to be spontaneous and not practiced in what you're going to say. I think it's an incredible opportunity and challenge, but I love it. But what I find, and I'm seeing with you, Goldie, is that all that we have done, you know, in our lives, it starts to come together, and like the nannying of sort of, quote, an older person, but the ability to work with someone who's closer to the end and maybe passing over, your ability to sort of to get in touch with, you know, the dimensions like Robert Monroe.
Yeah,
you know, where we know they exist. So that knowing that they exist is very important, because you know, you can work with this person, you can help her, and no, I just saw, like, oh, all this, and this was completely, you know, 24 hours ago, unpredictable. But
exactly.
but literally perfect, you know, in timing. Like, it
yes.
just feels,
yes.
And that's how you do a double take and you go, really? And, you know, and I just smile, because one of the, you know, one of the most, you know, kind of looked over little creatures on the planet, a squirrel. Look at all the commotion that little squirrel created.
Like, right on.
Right? It's just this little creature, and all of a sudden, you know, he's got your attention, and, you know, and it's just it's amazing to me. I mean, that same thing happened to me with my writing of my book, with just the showing up of a jackrabbit in the middle of the night in the road. It was like, next thing you know, he was our hero in my book. And, you know, this little squirrel to me is a messenger, you know,
and it's just so great.
It's so great.
It really is. Well, remember when we were talking today when the blue heron came in?
Yeah, because I live on a creek, and the great blue heron is one of my favorite, most, it's so beautiful, and I've given it actually a name that's going to be in the, it was in, it was supposed to be in the Magic Gown, but he got edited out, so he made a comeback in the new book. But it's
nice.
funny that when Golden Hawk and I were talking, that, you know, all of a sudden, and this is like, you know, maybe it's happened twice, where we'll be talking about something and in he'll fly and just land and just sit beautifully in the creek, and, you know, and it's just, you know, these showing up of these certain creatures or animals or birds or whatever, they just represent something to me. Like, I walked out the door, and this isn't, you know, because it's not an everyday occurrence, so I walked out the door tonight, and there, you know, was a big hawk sitting in the tree.
Nice.
And then it took flight, you know, and it's just kind of like, oh, there, hello, you know, and same for me with that beautiful bluebird, and then, you know, someone dreams about it and calls me, and you're just going, which we're calling, you had a word for it that was better than telepathy, but there just seems
to
be a real, I mean, I think it's a both end. It's both because you and I are both more aware of it, but I also do think that whether the boundaries are less or the veils are thinner, but I do think that the telepathy or the cross thoughts are really stronger now, or if they feel that way
the
to
veils
me.
Veils,
I mean,
are
maybe,
thinner. Yes, that's what people are saying. They're calling it the veil, and that is, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the veils are thinner. Telepathy, as well as what I like to say, is telempathy, which telepathy is not just thoughts, but there's emotions and there's feelings and sensations. I was doing the journeying with Simon and Michelle, it wasn't so much that I would get thoughts as much as I would get physical sensations, tingling, warmth, pressure, being in like a liquid gel, because, and for me, you know, I mean, oh my God, I'm in the United States. Michelle is also in the United States at the other end of the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast, and Simon was in Norway, you know, essentially at the, you know, at the top of the planet, you know, and here we are, you know, I mean, I get it that the computer was kind of like the stimulator to bring us together. But I saw it more often than not, we would both type something at the exact same time. Like, did you feel that shift? And it's like, well, I just felt the shift. And it was like we would be writing it at the same time. And it's like, you know, it really is, you know, a new – it's like there's a new tool in the toolbox. And what comes with telepathy is that no more secrets.
Mm.
You know, and that's a very interesting dynamic, because, you know, in my humble opinion, there's nobody on the planet who doesn't have secrets. We all have secrets, and it's kind of like life has been designed that way. You know, prior to the veils being separate, the secret is, I mean, the ultimate secret is, hey, you know, you really are all connected, but you don't know it. So it's in the design of the planet for us to be separate. Therefore, the mind will compartmentalize and have secrets. But as much as it was in the design of the planet, it is also in the design of the planet that the veils are being lifted. So, you know, we are living through our own conscious evolution, and the key is, can you now be okay? I mean, this question I asked to myself and Janine and everyone, are we okay being transparent? You know, imagine a space and time where privacy is just not a factor because, I mean, my goal when I go through that fifth dimensional portal is that I want to go to a space where everything is conscious of everything. I mean, the wind is conscious of everything, and the water, and the stones, and the animals, and the trees, and the people. You know, I mean, everything is conscious of everything. That is, and I believe it's different than a hive mentality, because there are different levels of being aware of everything. Because in my space, there's no queen bee, so to speak. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing kind of stands out as, you know, without me, the hive will, you know, suffer and die. No, no, no. That's still very polarized, in my humble opinion. But it's getting up there, you know, I mean. But so, you know, this whole idea of secrets is something I wanted to speak about tonight. Because life is showing me that, well, secrets can be polarized like anything else can be polarized in the world of duality. Because like I was telling Janine that if people come up to me, you know, whether on Facebook or on the telephone or, you know, listen, I want to tell you something, but don't tell anybody else. You know, I kind of laugh at that because at this point I go, you know what, do me a favor, don't even tell me because, I mean, first of all, I suck at keeping secrets. that is not a strong suit of mine. I have committed to transparency, and in all honesty, I can't tell you the freedom that goes with being transparent. Now, you know, I mean, there are some downfalls, because I believe some of the nanny gigs I didn't get was based on my transparency on the radio. But, you know, this is when it kind of comes into, there's an integrity of another kind of space that I come from is I'm authentic. You know, I mean, I know I'm a great nanny. I know I can take care of children. You know, I've been doing it for 20 years. Knock on wood, everybody's been healthy. You know, no one's ever gotten seriously hurt in my care. I know a lot of the kids that I've taken care of have grown up to be amazing, you know, very cool, creative human beings. And, you know, I'm not saying they're what society calls perfect, but I don't consider adults that what society considers perfect to be well-balanced human beings. I mean, the kids I know have, they're dark and they're light and they're creative and they're confident. That is one thing I see with the people that I have influenced in their growing up. There's a confidence about them, and that just tickles me. Because confidence and infinite trust, these are qualities that, in my humble opinion, whatever is going on right now in that mysterious unknown, these are the qualities that we're going to need to tap into because, you know, as much as it looks like it's just, you know, the status quo of what's happening, sensitive people are clearly getting that there's tremendous shifting going on behind the scenes in the unknown. There is shifting going on. We can feel it even though we can't necessarily see it, you know, or touch it or taste it with the five senses. But I know for myself, my intuition is telling me nothing is as it appears to be. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why logic and reason can no longer be the guiding factors for my choices, because logic and reason are all based on what I see and hear and touch and taste and smell. And the choices that I'm making are my soul choices, and these soul choices go deeper than the five senses. They take me all the way to the point of, you know, I surrender my ego, what my ego desires, so I can experience what my soul desires. Because my goal is to complete the journey of being in duality and walk through that fifth-dimensional portal that puts me back into a space of balance. I mean, you're not going to get there if you don't balance your experiences, you know, if you don't get the balance of it. So, you know, I highly recommend, you know, if 'cause the one thing I do gauge myself by, if it feels good, I do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know that a lot of people are like, because I'll be honest with you, most people don't realize I am essentially living on a diet, and this is not an exaggeration. I am living on a diet that is about 75 to 80% sugar. And I mean, chocolate candy, cookies, cakes. And I keep saying, if you want me to go in a different... No, that's not to say I don't temper it with the occasional salad and protein, because I do like my protein as well. And what I temper it with a lot is a lot of meat, chicken, fish, beef. Because it's just so funny to me. I would shift that, and I know people are like, oh, well, you're just addicted to it. Well, I'm very conscious of what I'm... Yeah, well, because that I really get that, you know, there is a frequency in the sugar that for me allows me to be in awareness of certain things. And listen, I'm not, I mean, I'm definitely not skinny, but I'm not obese. And I think people, you know, what I hear mostly is, you know, when they start eating this stuff, I immediately hear, oh, it's going to put 10 pounds on me. And I'm going, well, what if you're eating it to have the boost to your frequency so that your soul can kind of touch base with you? You know, it's almost like, you know, I can't explain it. I just know that I'm comfortable with this, the numerology I just gave you on the percentage of my diet. And I know that things are not what they appear to be. Go ahead.
No, did you hear that I said maybe you're a hummingbird?
I did hear that you said that. Well, and, you know, I think I have hummingbird. Oh, right, because they eat the sweet nectar.
Diet.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
No, that's what they're attracted to is sugar
nectar.
Well,
I think that there's more to it than people, you know, people just immediately go, it's unhealthy to eat that kind of candy, and I'm going, or that kind of sugar.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, intuitively, I've never gotten that hit. Never. And I can, so I look at it and go, listen, I know what the scientists say. I know what Dr. Oz on Oprah says. But here's what my body says.
Yeah.
My body says that I feel pretty confident. I'm getting my infinite trust down. I'm now checking into self-sufficiency. You know what I'm saying? For me, it's working. It's And again, if it changes, I'm open to it changing if it wants me on a totally raw vegan diet, you know. Because I always tell my soul, if you want me to make a shift, just make me want it. And then there'll be no problem making that shift. And my shifts come from something that I'm attracted to. It's a law of attraction. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I go in those directions, even though most of the time people think, you know, I'm flaky, I'm flighty, I'm, you know, I'm losing a grip on reality. I mean, it's like, okay, well, if that's your opinion. For me, it's really about kind of, I guess what I'm getting at is living. One of the things that I think is so special that's going on right now is we have potentials to live experiences right now that I don't know if everybody's aware of, that as time and evolution is coming into play, the time to live these experiences are quickly diminishing. Simply because of the nature and the makeup of where we're at in our shift. So, you know, the fact that, in other words, it's not a negative thing that the shifting hasn't shown up in the third dimension yet. It's just kind of an extended window. What do we all need to do in the third dimension that we need to experience? Okay, well, be conscious and experience it then right now. You know what I'm saying? Experience what the time is allotting us to experience instead of watching your watch going, well, when is it going to change? When is it going to change?
Yeah.
That is, in my humble opinion, well, what a waste of energy and a waste of really good experience time. Because the one thing I'm clear of is I'm not worried about making a mistake in this shift. I'm fully immersing myself in what I'm experiencing right now. That, I mean, I'm looking at my life right now with the potential of never moving out of Connecticut, staying here, you know, for a very long time, you know, settling down and having my roots here, because that's what's showing up in my life. So, I really believe that if we're going to live in this kind of fluid experience, that's a key to it. You have to fully immerse yourself in it. Because if you have one foot in one reality and one foot in, like, the future, you're not going to get the wisdom fully. You're going to get partial hits of wisdom. And if you're only getting partial hits, you can't utilize that experience for your next experience. Because every experience seems to be kind of building on the experience before.
Yeah.
So it sounds like mastering the art of being on crack. I get that.
No, it doesn't at all to me.
Okay,
no,
to me
doesn't.
Maybe
I mean,
it does.
What?
I said to me, you know, because I get it, I'm like all over the place, but it feels so right to me to.
Well, it's funny. It does. You know, it's funny because my experience, just listening, but perhaps because I have context with you, is that it does not feel like you're all over the place. It really, I mean, at all. So,
oh, right on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
At all.
Thank you.
And I think that, you know, it's funny about the sugar and the food and, you know, I mean, clearly, you know, greens are nice and all, but it just kind of reminded me again of flipping the belief because what I have found it wasn't in what you know, I didn't think of it that way, but that's becoming more evident to me now is the flipping of, you know, of what we thought was, you know, like I love that you just said I'm not worried about making a mistake. I mean that is flipping, because, you know, what were we told? Oh, you know, don't make a mistake. Be fearful of making a mistake. Be embarrassed of making a mistake. You know, you know, and that is, I mean, I think if that is really amazing, because once you release that, I guess, phobia or, you know, whatever's been entrained in
control.
Us.
Control. It feels like a control.
Yeah. It is a control, but that's such a liberate. I mean, that is truly so liberating to remove the fear or concern of making a mistake. I mean, that's like, that could be, you know, that's just really huge to me. And
right on.
And if people have to eat sugar to get there, you know, my brother believes that cupcakes are the answer to everything.
I'm telling you. Buy stock in Entenmann's, man. Entenmann's rocks.
Our new sponsor. No.
There you go. Oh, my God, Janine, I just got chills with that. Oh, I love it. That was hot. Yes.
It's just so funny. I mean, did you ever see that adorable, silly, because I love Will Ferrell, but he plays an elf, and his entire diet is like candy, soda, cookie, cake. It's just so funny, and he, you know, and you know, of course, you know, the whole idea of, and you know, he's brilliant in it, and and it's just great, because it's a kid's dream, you know.
Exactly, and that's what I believe I'm feeding, is the inner, I think it's my inner child that, there's something, I really get the sense that she's the one guiding this journey back into the fifth dimension, and that's the fuel for her. I mean, that is...
Well, the playful, exuberant, open to the world of the moment is the divine child. And it is through that doorway, I think, that everything's possible. I mean, you know, and even that card that we discussed today, the Sun card, it was the divine
child. We can read that too.
It's beautiful. So the divine child, and I do think that, and perhaps, you know, it's funny because you love telling me about Mr. Comet Watch and others and the solar flares, mm-hmm. and a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago I was saying how I was really enamored with the idea of like the solar consciousness kind of coming in, you know, at high levels of, you know, just kind of bathing us in solar consciousness. And then today, Golden Hawk and I were discussing, when she was telling me something, I completely thought of the Sun card, this beautiful card, this tarot card. And it has these dancing divine children that are winged, and it's the card of incredible creativity. But it's all through the divine child and playfulness. And, you know, that's what's, to me, that's what's really wrong with what isn't working is most people have forgotten to be playful. And, I really think that's what's missing, you know, for us. So I think it's so funny that not only are you being playful and open to the divine child, but you're eating.
I'm eating like you're...
it's
funny because the warrior only wants to drink water.
You're at the constant birthday party. Cake.
As a nanny, you know, God, the kids love me because, you know, I mean, I honor the parents' rules, but dessert is definitely way more extreme when Goldie's around than when the parents are around. But, I share that with you simply from the idea of, listen, this is about becoming authentic. I mean, I really believe that that's also another huge piece of this journey that we're on. That, 'cause there are so many choices in a day that all of us, you know, we come to this space where we have to make a choice. And how many of us say to ourselves, you know, I can't do that because it's not accepted by, and then fill in the blank, whoever it's not accepted by. And I'll tell you, the soul, in my humble opinion, it's almost like to get to the deep connection with the soul, which is an absolute aspect of infinite trust, you're going to have to break some rules of your own belief system.
That's for sure.
Not just rules of, you know, the laws of the land.
No, that's
but of
for
your,
sure.
Yeah, and it's yeah. So it, pick a place to start. Is it, you know, you don't eat chocolate because, you know, whatever, you're afraid you're going to get heavy or whatever, or you know, I mean, because God knows I have broken literal laws, I've broken rules, I've broken belief systems, but I do it because the quest to find me is the mandatory motivating factor. I, from my own experience, I would have never found me if I didn't make the choices I made. Never. Mm-hmm. And I think people might not understand the depth and the potential to find yourself right now in this particular point in history. I mean, it's huge. And so, you know, I mean, I'm not saying quit your job and, you know, run off and run around in a Winnebago, unless, of course, you know, that brings you a tremendous amount of joy. And then I'm really all for it, right on.
Yeah.
You know, come swing by Connecticut, you know, we'll chat. But it, you don't have to be, you know, because people are like, well, I can't do all this. Listen, take small steps, because one thing I have learned in this whole journey is when you have the courage to flip small beliefs, they will literally and naturally and organically lead you to the bigger beliefs. But by the time you get to the bigger beliefs, it'll just seem like a small increment from where you've been. It's like your soul is more than happy to take you in baby steps
that through the baby steps, the big step will just become yet another little piece of a baby step. You know, and yet when you flip that belief, it's like, you know, the heavens open up and the synchronicities flow, and you get to get the true dream, which is, you know, the wild dream that you've been having since a kid. That's what then starts showing up in your life. The wild, not the American dream that has, that's all about consumerism and being in debt, but the true wild dream that you had when you were 3 years old about living on a planet, you know, that was all really, really pretty groovy. That's what's going to show up.
Yeah, I think dropping, just challenging and dropping belief systems of your own is so liberating. And at first, if you notice, you know, it might even come with, definitely with fear, but and that's where that saying that I love so much, with the Naismin, that life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage.
I really think
that, and courage is really, you know, the heart. And so it's just taking those steps to just let go of some belief systems that have limited us. And really, it is about being playful. I mean, that's what ends up happening. You become playful. And you know, I just think that, like you said, because I was thinking, it's almost like the belief systems out there in the world, but it really is the belief systems within yourself.
And I've
noticed that, you know, people get very defensive of their belief systems, and that's when you know you've hit pay dirt or you've hit gold, because it's like, there it is. That's the belief system you want to challenge. When you notice yourself getting defensive about a belief system, that's the one you want, because that's the defense mechanisms and the cover going for it. And you're like, no, go for it, you know.
Exactly.
Let that one go, because I'll tell you, then the momentum starts to happen. And it's just that's when it all starts to really become, you know, like you just, you know, you're just watching things unfold and going, this is amazing, you know.
But you got
to start letting go of those old belief systems that have kept you in an old paradigm, you know. And then what happens is that telepathy and, you know, the archetypes and you literally start to see when someone, you know, washes a window that hasn't been washed for 10 years. It's so much more than washing a window. I mean, it just is. It just, everything becomes so much more impactful and meaningful. What these small things are no longer small. They're like, you start seeing the world in this other way, and you know, it's incredible. I mean,
it is incredible.
To me,
I agree.
It is. Everything starts to have these multiple dimensions to them, you know, and it's just amazing. It's amazing. So. And remember,
it's part of the mystery. You know, it's not like, you know, you get to kind of pick and choose how these amazing things will come.
They can come in. You know, someone thinks that you don't have a hold on reality, so you don't take the job. You don't take the job, but in fact, that was amazing. You know,
At the moment, it's starting to look like. Because the work I'm going to be doing now is, like I said, in the other spectrum with the elderly. I mean, listen, I'm down for that. I'm down for that as long as I like the person I'm working with. And to be honest, at this point, I already know this woman, and I really like her. You know, so it's like, I mean, it's better than, I can't plan these things. And I don't even know that this is going to work out. But I know that it's where I'm at right now, and just being able to say that I can be there already feels freeing, because, you know, listen, the universe in the third dimension, things have to manifest. But there are signs that show up you're moving in a direction, and you know it. Everybody in their heart, you know when life is starting to point you down a different path. And what do? Do you put on the brakes? Do you immediately stop that? You know, we can all kind of ask ourselves, what do we do? Because if the goal in your life is to go through this ascension, learning to go down new paths in the unknown, that's pretty much a mandatory charge, so to speak, that you're going to want the body to be accustomed to. If you already know you want to go towards your soul, you're already kind of clear that we've been living in a very limited state for a very long time.
You know, too, what it is, too, like when you, you know, you, me, whoever, when you become skilled at sort of living in the mystery, life, language, images, everything shifts. And, you know, life is richer, life is more dimensional, it's magical, you know, it's just a different way of seeing, it's a different way of being, it's a different way of living. And, you know, so I guess what's amazing, I mean, for, I think the audience, if they've been following everything, it's just there's this momentum of every week or twice a week, we're talking in current time of that day. Or, you know, maybe 48 hours. But, of what is unfolding because of a process of letting go, integrating, living in the mystery, trusting, listening who's talking. Am I talking from a place of sufficiency? What voice is this? Is this the voice of insufficiency? Holding the space in sort of a difficult creative tension, but if you do it, I'm telling you, you know, amazing things happen. So it's just been, you know, this. And it's fun because it's your process, it's my process, it's people who are listening to us, this process. It's just an unfolding. And, I've been having experiences like this now where you go, wow. But only later do I look back and go, now, look at how the universe protected me. That didn't work out, but look where I am now, and I could never have predicted it. You know, and what I thought was success was not success at all, and I'm like, thank God that didn't work out. And it's like wow, that was amazing, you know. And it's just the ongoing mystical Mother Earth show within another reality.
Well, and I think I think you brought up an excellent point that I want to kind of, reiterate on is, the fear that we have is that, we're kind of, there's beings and powers and other dimensions and, they can kind of, come at us and hurt us. And, nothing is more self-protecting than your soul. I'll be honest with you, fear was a major motivating factor for me the first 30 years of my life. I mean, I was afraid of everything. Would I be loved? Would I be alone? Who was going to beat me up? Who wasn't going to like me? Was I smart enough? Was I pretty enough? I mean, and it's so funny because, I look back on pictures and as I come into this love that I've never had before, and it is the love of my soul, I know that. As I come into my soul, I look at pictures from my past, and I'm like, wow, I was a really good-looking lady, or young lady, but I never saw that. Did I see myself as pretty when I was in my 20s and my 30s. Never. And what's so funny, though, is it's not just that I see myself as pretty when, I was a svelte size 2 or 4. I look in the mirror now, and even at 170 pounds at 5'3", I go, you know, I look pregnant. And you know what? In my humble opinion, pregnancy is beautiful. So, I mean, I really do look and see myself as beautiful. Now, do I acknowledge that society and most of the reality that I live in see me as beautiful? No, they don't. And I'm cool with that. But I see me as beautiful. And these are the kind of, like, real subtle but powerful changes you get when you start living your life based on the goal is to connect with yourself. You're not connecting with an archangel. You're not connecting with your ET family. You're connecting with your own soul.
Mm-hmm.
Because my humble belief is that when I'm fully connected with my own soul, through my soul, then I can talk to archangels. Then I can go visit my star family. I can't get there without going through this step. The step of connecting with our soul is critical. And I see it often where the people that are very, like, jazzed on guys like George Kavassalis, who is incredible. But what they do is they take his information as if his experiences are going to get them connected to their soul. He's just giving us a blueprint of the universe. It's still an individual journey that we have to do the integrating of our own experiences in order to connect with our soul. Because a lovely lady was asking me if I would have George on as a regular. And I didn't write her back, but my answer to that basically, if in my own head, was when you have George on the show, there's a lot of pressure that comes from having somebody that brings 800 people into your chat room. I mean, that, and the truth is, it took me several weeks to actually find my center and balance after the last show I did with George. Now, I love George, and I definitely plan on having him back, but I don't want to invite that in as a regular experience. I like me and Janine talking on a regular basis about what's happening in my daily life, because this is what all of us need to do. We need to integrate on our daily life if the goal is to be with George in that organic fifth dimensional portal. We need to do not the work, the integration. That's our job and our responsibility to self.
Yeah,
you know, and
remember,
so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, please.
No. Do you remember how over the weeks I used the expression, and you found yourself saying that you had used it too, but it's like it's like a dropping into your soul. It's like,
yes.
I said something like dropped into the soul, and I don't even know why I say that, except that it does seem like when you fully drop into your soul, or when you're dropping into your soul, you just seem, you're more integrated. You're actually more grounded, which is ironic, because I think people think you almost take almost flight more, but it's not really. It's like you're present in your soul, your body and your soul, and you're here. It's not like you're up there in the ethers being, you know, flighty, and you know, it's just
exactly
right.
Exactly.
And I know George does speak of that, as he likes the idea of being realistic, which of course, you know, his realistic is much different than the old definition of realistic, but also the experience of your own life experience. You cannot do it through someone else's.
You can't.
And so the dropping in to the soul is how I guess I just say it, because that's how it feels, you know. And
I think it's a great way to express it, because that, you know, as much as you can reach up, so to speak, for your soul, but it's really not a reaching up; it's a reaching in.
Yeah,
that's why
it's a dropping.
And when
in,
you create the space, it does drop. It drops in. It's weird because, you know, we're talking multidimensional. So it's not like there's a northwest, east, and south, you know, go south and find your soul. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. But the soul might guide you to go south to have an experience. Because,
yeah.
You know, where I guess what I'm kind of getting at is
the vortex.
My my whole focus right now is that from my time frame, the timeline that I'm on, there's no hold on. There's no time like the present to get in any kind of situations that I need to bring my soul into balance. Like, because I knew intuitively when I started on the new path about a week ago, you know, my new mantra is I am sufficient. I have started a initiation art piece that is going to, you know, kind of be the, you know, the ally, you know, will be the creation. It's not complete yet. This one did not come down as quickly down the pike. I'm taking much more time with it, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I knew the experiences. It's almost like you, my friend Greg, who drives a truck, he goes, you got to restart. Now, because the goal is now sufficiency and not infinite trust, there's a restart button. So now, okay, what are the experiences and who are the people that are going to be dancing with me in these experiences in order to get the balance I need to know I'm sufficient? You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't surprise me that there's a potential I'm staying here because I clearly don't feel sufficient in Connecticut right now. I'm not working, you know, as much as I'd like to be. That is a sufficiency. Okay, well, now I'm addressing it. Oh, okay. So, you know, it's like, it just seems to me, it really, and Janine is very good at this too. When you're aware of subtleties, you're aware that timelines shift and everything shifts because of that. And because everything's shifting because of that, and I'm conscious of it, I'm not only excited, I'm delighted that, you know, life is showing up for me to get the balance I need because that's what I really feel is happening, even though I couldn't tell you I have a clue on how it will unfold. But when you work with the soul and you get kind of, I want to say sufficient or efficient at being with your soul, the infinite trust says, well, if that's your goal, then, of course, that's what's showing up.
You don't need to know. The soul doesn't need to know, what clearer voice of the soul or sufficiency could say, "I'm not afraid of making mistakes"? I mean, it's just, you know, that's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible, and I love it because, like, when my father said that to me right before we walked into the Verizon store about, well, you're 46, what do you have to show for it? You know, without hesitating, I went, well, do you got a few days? I'll tell you what I have to show for it. Because, you know, I was tempted to say, you know, Dad, when you pass, there's a good chance you're going to get recycled right back into another third dimensional reality. I'm not. But, you know, I couldn't say that to him because he's going to look at me and go, you know, what the hell are you talking about? That's ridiculous. So I didn't even have to say that. And that's how sufficient I kind of, in other words, I'm working on this, but I don't care if anybody calls me a loser because I'm not financially, you know, stable right now. Because here's something I am. The universe is showing up for me. I mean, bless my father. He's giving me opportunities by, you know, adjusting my rent. And, you know, you got to be able to let go of everything in order to become everything. I mean, this is the archetypical language of the soul.
Yeah.
The ego can kick and scream and say, and make yourself sick. I mean, if you get stressed out, you can make yourself sick at a time that it doesn't have to be. It can be a very magical time because I swear, the best way to put this is it feels like I am becoming the child again, where I just live in the now. I don't have that many bills. I don't have any money to pay them, even though I am cleaning my father's house to pay for my car, my car insurance and the taxes and stuff. And I'm like, you know, in other words, things just show up, so I can kind of do my work right now. And my goal and my job, so to speak, is can you do it all and still giggle and still have imagination, and still be eternally optimistic? Can I do that? Because if I can, well, isn't that kind of the fifth dimension being, you know, to the best of my ability, being lived? Because
mm-hmm.
I believe it is.
Yes.
You know, breaking out of the controls. That's another thing that sufficiency from a soul perspective means, you know, ultimately I don't want to manifest stuff. I want to manifest that I don't need anything so I can, you know, travel light, walk through my portal and you know, just kind of shake my hand and go, see you on the other side. I don't know, but, you know, that's, you know, like the ultimate goal, but, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. And I'm not ashamed, and I'm not afraid to admit it.
What would you possibly be ashamed of?
Yeah, no. Well, I'm not.
It's
I
fabulous.
Mean, I guess I've long left that thought. Yeah,
it's fabulous.
I love you, baby. Well, I just want people to know that you can do it. I mean, but you got to be willing to really. It's almost like you can't go halfway. You can't. Just stick your foot in the water and say, I'm practicing the ascension. I mean, it becomes a full-time gig,
mm-hmm.
moving and trusting and living from principles that are not based on how much money you have and things of that nature or status. It's just not about those things. And so you got to kind of have a tough skin. In the sense of, so when people look at you and go, you know, well, what an irrational move that is, you look at them and go, only from your perspective, not from mine.
Yeah, and from a place, from a person who's functioning from their sufficiency, those words are meaningless. They just are. They
well,
just
exactly.
don't.
Exactly.
Exactly. They don't drop in. They don't drop in and trigger the old paradigm of, oh, you know, you. Oh, no, I must be, you know, the loser thing, or oh,
right.
it just doesn't happen.
Right.
You're not triggerable.
They're triggerable, but right, but it's not consciously done. It's
no. I mean, the person who's in sufficiency is not does not get triggered. Yeah, they
right.
just don't.
That's
they just don't.
Right, and we proved that the other day.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and even with your dad, you know, do you have a few days or, you know, the triggered response from a place of insufficiency would have been a lot different.
Right, I would have went to prove myself that I have a plan.
Yeah,
or
got offended and got all upset with them. And,
yeah.
Become the victim.
Yeah, because it's so funny, we're arguing about money and yet he's, you know, basically letting me get a cell phone on his account, which he's like, you have to pay for the cell phone. I'm like, okay, I will. You know, and I'm cracking up going, okay, well, we're getting me a cell phone and I already can't pay rent. So it makes you kind of laugh and go, I don't know what he's thinking, but clearly it's in my benefit, whatever confusion he's got. You know, it just makes me laugh because that's another thing you're going to see. When you're in this presence, and that's basically what it is, when you're connected with your soul, you're present, it affects people. It affects the environment. It affects animals. It affects everything. I'm really seeing in the people around me. My neighbor Scott across the street is. I did some energy work on him and his mom, and you know he was like, "Wow, like, you know,
wow.
Where'd you learn that?" Because he kept going to me, "Are you special?" And I was like, "No." I go, I'm not
That's
special.
Great.
I'm just somebody who chose to find out what's the energy going on inside of me and learn how to tap it. You know, I was like, but we're all energy inside of us. And
mm-hmm.
and he's an artist, so he really kind of, he taps into the whole creative field.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, I didn't know,
you know
that.
It's always,
That's great about the energy work with them.
Yeah, well, his mom has arthritis, so I was like, I just was like, sit down. And, you know, and remember, I've known these people for 46 years and I've never ventured across the street to be friendly to them. And, I mean, he cooked me some soup the other night. He's a real sweet man. And his mother couldn't be more joyful that, you know, Cindy, quote.
Yeah.
Cindy's in the house, and it's like, you know, because I said, listen, you know, she's in an age group with my dad, his mom. You know, I was like, you can call me whatever you want. And she's like, no, 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 I want to try and call you Goldie, but I remember you as Cindy. And I went, that's fine. That's fine, you know.
Yeah.
And then it was funny. At one point she went, Sin, and I just cracked up in my head because I didn't point that out to her. But, you
right,
know.
Right, right.
That's kind of, you know, the irony of it all. Yes, exactly. They're still calling me Sin. but it was really nice to just
what a shift,
well, just,
though. I mean, that's a shift. You know, the neighbor that, you know, for 46 years, you just the other day end up over there because
yeah.
you cleaned the house and found something you thought, you know, hidden, which I love.
Right.
You found something. You go to burn it to get to release just old paradigm thinking, and next thing you know, you're visiting with neighbors that you really didn't, you know, do anything with, and then you're doing healing work on them. I mean, it's, and he's making you soup. I think it's
yeah.
Incredible.
No, it was awesome. He wants to help me paint too. He's yeah. he's got. He goes, I want you to come over here and paint. I went, okay. I didn't even hesitate. Oh, okay. You know, totally. Like,
no, that's,
you know,
amazing.
To find a friend who's an artist, you know me, G. I mean, I was like, wow, that rock and roll in my world. That's awesome.
Well, it's just amazing how it just it keeps coming, you know? It's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like.
Yeah,
it's,
and what I'm finding
it's like,
is it's all right here. We don't have to go far to. The stuff that wants to be integrated is right in front of all of us. It really
right.
is just a matter of opening the perspective to let it in.
Right,
in my
right.
humble opinion.
It's not in the future. It's here, present now, right in front of you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is so great.
Well, and, you know, it almost reminds me of, because, you know, Seinfeld, you know, his show, wasn't his show, I wasn't really a huge fan of the Seinfeld show, but wasn't his show really a show all about nothing?
Yeah, it was about everyday,
like, well,
ordinary, the little things that happen, and the silliness
exactly.
of things, and that was it. Yeah, it was
exactly.
nothing about. Yeah, it was all the interaction between people, and you know,
right, four different people living their daily lives, you know, laughing
yeah.
and having a great time. But it, you know, is it any coincidence that, you know, it became the hit that it became? Because it's really a show about presence.
Yeah.
You know, what's
yeah.
going on in there? Because I was thinking about that today, going, hey, we kind of have the same format, you know, on the Mystical Mother Earth, and I've clearly morphed another reality show into that. It's like, you know, I love it because this is the greatest show on Earth, is all of our lives unfolding right now. It is
yeah.
the greatest show ever. We should not underestimate the potential that is unfolding right now, because I get that, you know, if you're not feeling it, it doesn't feel like anything that great. It could feel actually, you know, quite the opposite.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, this is the thing that kind of really blew my mind about George. You know, George's experiences and memories are obviously, you know, extraordinary. They're off planet, off world. But the truth is, connecting with our soul is in and of itself an extraordinary experience, and it has nothing to do with if you go off planet per se. I mean, I've done a few things because of technology that have gotten me into multi-dimensions, but most of the stuff that I am integrating is stuff that happened in this dimension, in this lifetime. You know, it's not even from a past lifetime. It's right here, right now. And I say this, that the benefits that I am getting from doing this integration work, it's just hands down priceless. It's almost like, you know, the big joke is, you know, the economy is slipping. Well, from a soul perspective, the economy is cranked up and raising. I mean, it, you know,
so
it's like,
well, see, there's the flipping the picture again. You know, it's like, oh, it's, you know, yes. And that's why when you said today there is just something special right now, that's the irony, that it's a flipped perspective of what you're hearing everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
exactly.
and there is really something special going on right now. you know.
Tremendously so.
Yeah, and the value, that's another thing that's been coming up for me lately too, is the word value. Well, it's not about the money. It's the experiences of the soul and what you're talking about over these past weeks and the processes. It's like it's the buried treasure of all treasures, you know.
Exactly.
And I know that sounds,
cliche.
Corny, but
it sounds cliche.
It is so true, you know. And so yeah, so it's another flip the perspective, because it's not, you know, what you're hearing out there sometimes is the complete opposite.
Well, exactly, and that's the part that, you know, it's like we want to break out of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The whole system is, you know, it's so wired for failure. We can't be in a soul perspective and have the system that we have running right now. I mean, it just, because it's just from a frequency base, it just doesn't match up. The soul... The soul is just not going to put up with 95% of all the monies in the world being run by 5% of the people. That is just, there's no way the soul is going to let that be. You know, I mean, and for me, listen, I'm still happy in my cakes and candy. things are just showing up where, you know, I loved it. Halloween came and the kids were like, hey, Goldie, share our candy. I'm like, okay. And I bought like all this candy to hand out for the kids. And then my town canceled Halloween. Okay.
I have a great story. It's so cute.
Okay.
Last year I was going to do a poetry workshop with, like, I think they were fifth graders at a school nearby me. And so it was going to be like a 3-day program. And so we really got done quickly in like a day and a half. So I thought, well, what can I do to take up time? You know, so I thought to myself, well, let me bring my beautiful art scrolls and I'll show them how I started painting all these beautiful paintings that led to a book. And that will be a whole other workshop, because the poetry thing was pretty much done. So I said to my brother, who has the same philosophy as you, I said, I decided I'm going to bring the kids a surprise. And he goes, cupcakes? Right? So I go, no, not cupcakes. I'm bringing my art scrolls. And he's like, oh. So anyway, so now I go to the school, and two little boys are sitting in the class. They're early. And I go, hey, I brought a surprise today. And the one kid goes, cupcakes?
Oh, no!
And I went, oh, my brother was right. I should have brought cupcakes. So I was like, no, they're just art scrolls, you know. But it was so funny.
No.
It was so funny because he was right. It was the cupcakes. I said, you know, honestly, I do think cupcakes pretty much solve everything. So,
I know they can make any now moment a little bit sweeter. That I know.
I can't wait to tell my brother about your sugar.
Yes. So, the intake of caloric experience for me is definitely high in sugar content.
Oh, it's funny.
But, funny. No, definitely, because, you know, it's so crazy. Life is crazy. There's so many... the pendulum. I keep watching the pendulum swing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's no real science to it yet, at least not from my understanding. But there is trial and error. You know, I basically at least want to give certain beliefs a try. And
mm-hmm.
What I have found is every time I open space up in my life to give an ascended belief a try, it never fails. I mean, it but the thing that, you know, all I can do is share my experiences and beautifully have my dear co-host and sister Janine share her experiences and help understand my experiences. The only thing I can't do is I can't do it for the audience. And believe me, if I could, I would. Because just to show everybody that it really is something special is going on right now. I mean, something really special is going on. And boy, when you tap into it, it just seems to make there's a cohesiveness that makes sense. And it's a knowing that is, it's not a knowing from the polarity of right and wrong. It's just a knowing that, I heard Robert Young say today, I have a knowing that if the ceiling fell in, I'd be okay with that. I would even be okay if the ceiling fell in on my head. I mean, because there's no attachment either way. I'm living, dying, right, wrong. I mean, it's so interesting when we genuinely let go of the duality. There is a unified consciousness that shows up that is beyond extraordinary. I mean, and it's subtle and it's quiet and it doesn't put your name up in lights and it doesn't put $1 million in your bank account, but it allows you to kind of just sit in a space where the rest of the world can look like it's literally unraveling and in total chaos, mm-hmm. and you kind of just sit there with this little bitty smile on your face and go, you know, it's all okay. I'm okay.
Yeah.
And I've never experienced this in my life, and it really is just blowing my mind that I'm experiencing it now when the rest of the planet is going through their chaos. I mean, it's like, wow, that I wouldn't have called that. I wouldn't have called that 10, 15, 20 years ago. I didn't know. Now I know, and now I can share it with, you know, vim and vigor because, first of all, it's obvious to me, the people that are listening to the show, we're all about transcending the illusion of separation and living a unified experience. I know that, and that's why, you know, in all honesty, I bring you these shows, you know, every week because I don't think you can ever get enough of hearing what's going on a daily basis because isn't your life unfolding on a daily basis? Just like mine. Janine and me are, you know, it really is about, there's nothing special about us, and yet there's everything special about the experiences of being one with your soul. You know, you got to love the paradox. If it's impossible and it's a paradox, that's where you'll find me. And, you know, it's the way it is. And that's what these days and times call for. We're no longer following a linear path where things are unfolding based on a linear scale. We are multidimensional. It's coming to fruition. We're becoming tele-empathic and, you know, All of these are equating to one thing. The soul is evolving, it's evolving us as a species, and we're consciously living through it. And you know, it can be a very challenging time, but boy, it can be mystical too. I mean, it really can be mystical and magical. And you
well,
know, I hope.
But you know. It's that breaking through those, you know, when you get to that place where it's like, oh, you push on it and it's, you know, it's like, okay, you feel that wall or that barrier, but it's not stone. It's just this membrane. And
it's just a moment. Right.
You just stay with it and you know, and those are the challenges or opportunities, but it just seems as though, when you stay with something and you don't run away from it, this is the unfolding that you're experiencing that I think happens when, you know, you're just staying awake and alert to pushing through and coming out the other side. I mean, remember when we first talked early on and I said there's gifts when you stay with something and you don't go around it or away from it or backwards, but you go through it. On the other side are incredible gifts. And
yeah.
you know, and they're not, I mean, they're not, their value is this unfolding of something that you feel, this expanded awareness that you just go, oh my God, you know, who would have thought that I would be sensing all this? And
exactly.
You don't sense it unless you stay with the challenge and go through it. And I mean, it's amazing, but it's...
Well, yeah, and I do want to point out, because this just hit me, you know, I know that there's a lot of people, you know, kind of quote-unquote selling integration, you know, get activated, do this for your DNA. I'm going to probably piss off a lot of people, but I think most of it is hogwash.
You know, Goldie?
Huh?
Just wash the windows.
Exactly. You don't have to pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for other people to come in and shift your DNA.
No. It's self-work.
It's self-work, exactly.
It's not someone else's work. It's self-work.
Exactly. And as Carolyn Mace put it, what the New Age has done is hijacked mysticism. They hijacked it to believe it could be bought and sold and packaged,
right,
you know, in 7 easy steps. And it's a mental game. That is all the mental mind doing that. And in order, the soul has to be a cellular experience. Your cells.
Yeah.
It's throughout your whole, you know, and I know that it starts in the head. Definitely, I was an extraordinarily mental person just up until, that was one of the greatest gifts George gave me, was the realization that everything I was creating through, quote unquote, the New Age was just mental work. It was not me actually integrating. It was me thinking about building Merkabahs. That's just, that was not changing my experiences, and it wasn't supporting my experiences from the point of view of I wasn't looking at myself consciously. No, that's not true. I was, but it's almost like it seemed like two separate things. I had my conscious work to do, and then I had my mental work to do. And truth be told, the mental work is what usually brought me into, am I doing it right? Am I going to get the... Well, my fears were much stronger when I was thinking it was my mental work that was getting me there, then when I just relaxed and realized, oh, you want me to feel really crappy because a very dark aspect of myself, an aspect that was created when I did drugs for 12 years, is now ready to come home. Home being my physical being, my energetic being. Mm-hmm. There is an aspect of me that's been cold and afraid. I stopped doing drugs essentially 16 years ago. And that being wants to come home. The one who took all the fear, all the pressure of being a total whack job, you know, coked out of my mind, you know, all the time, every day for 12 years. Well, that aspect needs love right now. And so it shows up by my cat going missing. And this extraordinary experience of, I feel the presence of me when I was doing coke. There was a great fear and a tremendous paranoia. My cat went missing, and for 2 days I was absolutely integrating that aspect into my physical being. And was I afraid? Absolutely. I called Janine. She talked with me. I mean, there was no joke. I was absolutely afraid about my cat going missing, but it was so much deeper than that because I could feel that it was deeper than that. And so after the incident was over, I literally realized the cat was the trigger, but the aspect that came home was a part of me that was suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
That literally took, you know, all the harshness that life dealt me, I put into that being and then kicked her out of the body because I didn't want to feel that, because I wasn't strong enough at the time in my 20s. I am strong enough now to not only feel suicidal and love myself for it, but integrate that aspect of myself and be an integrated part that I kind of kicked out, you know, 16 years ago. that's the work that is giving me the confidence now to make these changes and shift my course and direction and have infinite trust. Not doing a meditation that I'm building a Merkaba light around my body. I mean, that just didn't do it for me. The work was me. Go ahead.
No, because that isn't the coming in, dropping in, being in the organic process of your life. Those other things are kind of like building these artificial constructs that really, I mean, I don't know what they have to do with anything, really, in terms of like the organic.
Right.
The organic part of your life, you know, which is very individualized. And only you can experience that, you know. No mental construct of something could possibly. It just feels so abstract to me, you know. As opposed to feeling what you're feeling, and then bringing that in as close as you can, and then what ends up happening is you integrate it, you bring it into your like your whole self. Well,
exactly.
Hopefully, yeah, and it's I mean, what's amazing is
that's soul work, though. I mean, that's what I want people to hear
that with you, which was it's always an honor and sacred and you know, it's the same thing as when, like, for instance, if you work with this woman who's older, who could be, it's such an honor to accompany someone on such a profound journey. Your journey, you know, or anyone that I get to be with, and then, but you working with someone like her, and truly, I mean, that's the whole thing about value to me, is that you start to become so aware of the preciousness of what it is to be part of someone else's process. I mean, just... Wow. As a witness, as a guide, as a support, as a mentor, as a friend, you know, that to me is like, you know, that's when I go, wow, you know, this is incredible. This is, you know, and that's it for me. That's like,
It's taking me out of my, it's taking me out of my selfish mode. I mean, it's for the first time I'm in service. And not that I haven't been in service with the kids, you know, but my whole gig was work with kids because adults are just too whack jobby. You know, like, you know, in the beginning of my career, it was I didn't want corporate. I didn't want none. It was like, where can I be where I'm accepted and people don't care what I look like? And, oh, kids. But life is changing for me. I mean, that my soul is now going, okay, that's good, you did that. But now it's time to come back into another part of the world, which is, you know, it's an interesting part because it really is, from my perspective, I see it with my own dad. Like, the cycle of life takes people back to being a child and inevitably being an infant. It feels like before they pass, you know what I mean? It's like the cycle kind of finds that space where, like, I'll see my dad where, like, if his teeth are out and, you know, he's got no hair, and I'm like, God, I look at his face and it there's an infant looking back at me, you know, a very young, innocent energy looking back at me. I can see it. And it's like, wow, that's full cycle.
Yeah.
That's a lifespan. I'm looking at a lifespan, you know, where, because when we go back into the infancy-ness, that's kind of going back into the soul, you know, this whole idea of maturing and growing up, more growing up than maturing. Growing up is, what a third dimensional, you know, what a scam that is. We've been scammed, everybody, because growing up is really just about taking on more responsibility, worrying more, being more in debt, being more controlled, more limited, you know, at least the American growing up term, you know what I mean? It's a scam.
It's a scam.
We've been scammed, God bless it, by our culture, education, medicine, and religion. They've all scammed us to grow up. Clearly, I've rejected that. So,
but not necessarily to mature.
Well, no. See, maturity is about being self-responsible.
Right.
And I am a firm believer that you can have a playfulness and let your inner child come out, but if you're responsible, if you're not blaming anybody for the emotions you're going through, now listen, there are triggers that I have literally learned to be grateful for, because if my father's not triggering me, I can't integrate it. If Dakini doesn't get, you know, go out of sight for a bit, I can't integrate it.
Mm-hmm.
You start to get, you know, again, it's new rules on a new playing field,
mm-hmm.
that you start to realize, the people triggering me in my life are really blessings. And I mean, that's not just pontificating. They are genuinely the blessing that allows the open, because there's something about, I don't have this quite down, but when your heart is broken and kind of aching, whether, you know, you're yearning for a lover or you're yearning for a parent or that yearningness, it almost seems like the soul can come in easier than when you're, you know, high on the hog and feeling fantastic.
Oh, that's
in the
so
beginning.
True.
Yeah.
So the vulnerability or when we're at our most humanness, to me, is what you're describing. And it is when it all can come in, you know, when it's as if, like, you know, maybe that's even like that story, The Walls of Jericho. I have no idea. But maybe that's when, you know, everything has to collapse and then you can really become yourself. You can really become yourself and authentic. And when everything collapses and you're just a mush, you know, and I remember feeling
and
like,
as they say, it's when you're on your knees, you know, get on your knees and
yeah. No, I remember get on your knees. But I remember feeling like a soft shell crab on the beach without the shell and just being like, so vulnerable.
Yeah.
But in that vulnerability, it's really when, you know, all the amazing things started happening, you know, because you're just there, like, wide open.
That's what it is. Exactly. If you don't think your soul don't know that, of course your soul knows. And I'll be honest, on some level, the soul is the one creating the experience to open you up.
Yes,
again,
like, finally.
It's when the language shifts. Go ahead.
No, that's what the soul's saying, finally.
yes, exactly. Because that's when you start recognizing archetypes, that's when you start recognizing the paradox of you are everything in your universe, but there are other beings also having their experience within your universe. You know, it's like you're everything and yet you're part of a whole, but... You know, I mean, it's too late to get into that kind of discussion, meaning because I have my own idea of, you know, I believe we are individual and sovereign, and we influence each other, but, you know, this idea that we're all going to go back into one consciousness, that we all came from one God, again, George clearly showed me the truth for that, and no, you know, I'm a God in my own right, and once I get fifth dimensional, you know, I'm going to... You know, explore the rest of the galaxy and see what other. Oh, remember when we were talking the other day about privately, you know, meaning off the air, when we were talking about the wonders of what other universes, like this is George says this universe is constructed of light and that this is the only universe in the galaxy or whatever, in all of the galaxies where there's light and there's duality. Well, I got a hit that. And I don't know if this is my construct, but grace.
Mm.
I think there's another universe where the construct is grace.
Wow. Well,
yeah, and I got the sense that... Go ahead. No, what are you...
No,
what's your,
what is
cause
that?
I got
what
the sense I'm in there.
What does that feel and look like?
Well, grace is the ability, and this came up to me what we talked earlier today... The ability to love the unlovable.
Oh, I'm just like enjoying this.
I thought you might. And it hit me, I was like, oh, that,
oh,
you want to bet that's a construct?
this is great. What?
Don't you feel, I mean, I can actually feel like that could actually be an entire universe, you know, made up of just a stream of consciousness. And I don't quite know, it's almost like beings would visit this construct to know of a benevolence, you know, that the never-ending forgiveness, you know, similar to, you know, a mother's love for a child that, you know, you know what I mean? Where, they can go back on the drugs, they can go back into crime, they can do all these horrendous things, and the mother just continually loves the child. And that's just one aspect of grace. I mean, grace is another aspect where, you know, you read about people whose children have been killed, and the mother of the child who was murdered goes and starts mothering the murderer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And these are real stories of people, you know, it's like, whoa, you know, losing a child to murder and then nurturing the person who did that. I mean, like, that is a grace that for some reason I just got the sense of that there's a galaxy out there that
I think that galaxy is here now, because if you can imagine it, it's real. And I think that it is here. You know, I know that current is present, and not everybody is in it and feeling it. But if you can imagine it, you're feeling it, and it's here.
But I don't know if this galaxy is light. Meaning, we have aspects of ourselves in that galaxy.
Oh, okay.
We can utilize it here.
I see.
In other words, because what are we doing? We're unifying. we're unifying our aspects.
No, that makes sense. That if we're multidimensional and moving around the galaxies and universes, then of course we are in there. We are coming through there. We're feeling it. But you definitely, if you can imagine that, then that exists.
And just so the audience knows, because me and Janine were kind of, one of the things I was playing with was, okay, if this is a galaxy of light, what are the other galaxies made of? And remember, every galaxy is a being. Because, I mean, ultimately, the question I've, you know, arose to myself is, well, what is it about my galaxy that is not present in anybody else's? And, these are the kind of questions, kind of like Nassim Haramein. I don't, you know, you might get lucky and that answer drops in the moment you ask, but it's usually a journey.
It's like an invitation to,
exactly,
like you ask the question and then you're open, and then it's the invitation to the concept coming in. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can almost feel it. I can almost think it. I love that. I mean, I love that going there to the inconceivable, which is probably another way of saying the mystery. And then, you know, you start, I would imagine that's actually what we're all doing. But, when you consciously know you're heading there, I don't know, there's something amazing and fun about it. You know,
absolutely. It's a difference between being dragged behind the car and driving the car. Because, I mean, I can tell you, the first 30 years of my life, when I was running away from everything I was afraid of, it was like I was being dragged behind a car to every space I had to go. And it wasn't until I took responsibility of my situation that my situation, it's almost like I took responsibility, but I surrendered control. And there's a paradox. I know they're all over the place, because I'm responsible for me, but
But my alignment is
to be in alignment with my soul. Because I think my soul is wanting me to know these things. And so it drops the question, sees what I do with it. Do I run from it? Do I embrace it? Do I take time, not time, but do I ponder it and play with it? It's like, well, of course I do, because, I mean, that's where the value is. Keep bringing me the wisdom and the awareness of that which I don't know. If I know it, okay, well then it's a known. Okay, it's almost like, well, there's no more life in that. So what? So I know it. Well, show me something I don't know. There's, 99.999 infinitum is the unseen. So by golly, there's plenty out there for us to explore.
Yeah. Yeah. Just something popped up for me, and this is just a question I'm putting out there to anyone who might be listening. But if, you talk about making the initiation or the infinite trust, and now you're working on the sufficiency, and I certainly, it's on my website, but I've created initiation art, and I just think that is working with the mystery. And I'm curious if anyone over time has or is interested in creating a piece of initiation art, and it's got to feel organic. It's got to feel, you're either ripe or you're not, and so it'll happen, or it will happen when it's supposed to happen. But I am curious if anyone, to Facebook me or email me, because I am, it's just something that I feel so connected to, and I feel that it's a very organic process of transformation. So
there you go.
I'm just putting it out there to people that if they're...
Well, so you would like to, would they be interested in kind of like doing it as a study? In other words,
I'm just curious if anyone ever, wants to email me or Facebook me that they're actually making a piece or thinking about making a piece.
Okay.
Yeah, I see what it does, and so it's just something that I just thought of, and I'd love for people to share with me.
Right on.
Yeah.
Cool. I like it too. Yeah. Because, people think, again, logic and reasoning are going to get us through the shift, when it's really, it's the Renaissance. Music and art.
Creativity
will get us through the shift. Absolutely, because they're more universal languages of the soul. The soul, as much as we think the soul speaks in numbers, I would say more shapes. The soul probably speaks in shapes. The mind, the physical brain, I think speaks in numbers, because that's the third dimensional aspect of who we are. But from a universal point of view, no. Art and sound and music definitely feels more universal.
Yeah, creative forces. That's how,
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, I would love to hear from people on that one. Yeah, because, I'm looking right now at a piece that was made in 1997, but she's right here on my table, and it's the Release of Sorrow. And it's just so beautiful physically. And it's just so funny that she's sitting on my table here. That's a first. So she must have moved over.
Well, there are no coincidences, my friend. There are definitely no coincidences.
I know.
Listen, we are at the top of the hour.
I can't believe it.
We're actually at the top of the second hour. I know.
Whoa,
this really went
by quick. Amazing.
As are you, my friend. So I want you to get your contact information. Share your contact.
Sure. My website is jlkimmel.com, KIMMEL.com. You can read all about me in art and initiation art. And springtreepress.com is another website of mine. So thank you so much.
The initiation art has a website, but we're still building on it, correct?
Yes. It's going to be a while, but... if you go on initiationart.com, it'll take you to jlkimmel.com. So,
okay.
But there's some information on there about initiation art.
Yeah.
And you can always email me.
Which is good to know. Yeah, and email Janine or because she'll talk you with it. It's such a loose being, no restrictions. It's creativity. Creativity at its finest. Nothing being judged.
It's
just
the mystery.
Creativity at
its
finest.
The mystery.
Exactly. And that's really important when, because it's that is, you know, it makes sense. Of course, it's the mystery connecting with the mystery. You know, it's like the mystery on this side of the veil connecting with the mystery on the other side of the veil.
Yeah.
Makes total sense why a bridge like initiation art would be so, it can create such profound effects. I mean, that just, I can see that so clearly right now. So,
Goldie, so thank you so much. You were amazing.
I love you, Janine. Thank you so much. This was amazing. There was a little technical difficulties on the way into the show, but clearly we flew right past that. Another amazing show with Janine. Catch us every Monday nights from 8 to 10 right here on another reality show, The Link, even though we call our show the Mystical Mother Earth Show. And so tune in on Monday night because we'll just be, you know, going on to next week's adventures and challenges. I love you guys. Have an amazing day. And remember, there is really something special going on right now.
So tune in
and be a part of it. Yeah, right on.
See you Monday, guys. Thanks.
Yeah. Bye. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Bye now.
You've been experiencing another reality show with Golden Hawk. Another reality show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments, email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.